スで、நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதீம் வ்யாஸம் ததோ ஜயமுதீரயேத். நஷ்டப்ராயேஷு அபத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவதீர் உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய தேவகீ நந்தனாய ச நந்த கோப குமாராய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நம. ஓம் அஜ்ஞான திமிரந்தஸ்ய ஜ்ஞானாஞ்சன ஷலாகயா சக்ஷுரோன்மிலிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரவே நம. ஸ்ரீச்சைதன்ய மனோபீஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதாமய்யம் ததாதி ஸ்வ பதாந்திகம். வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரோ ஸ்ரீயுதா பதகமலம் ஸ்ரீகுரூன் வைஷ்ணவாம்ச ஸ்ரீரூபாம் சாக்ரஜாதாம் சகணா ரகுநாதான்விதம் தாம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனா சகிதம் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம் ஸ்ரீராதா கிருஷ்ண பதான் சகணா லலிதா ஸ்ரீ விசாகான்விதாம்ச. ஹே கிருஷ்ணா கருணா சிந்து தீனபந்தோ ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த ராதா காந்த நமோஸ்துதே. தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி ரிஷபானு சுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரிப்ரியே. வாஞ்சா கல்பதருப்யஸ்ச கிருபாசிந்துப்யயேவச பதிதானாம் பாவனேப்யோ வைஷ்ணவேப்யோ நமோ நம. ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார் ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌர பக்த விருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. Chapter describes the Prithu Maharaj performing the Ashwamedha sacrifices, and especially in 7 verses, verse number 3 to 9, Maitreya Rishi describes the prosperity of the kingdom of Prithu Maharaj because of the performance of sacrifices. So verse number 3, 4 and 5 describe how in the sacrificial arena of Prithu Maharaj, Lord Vishnu was personally present along with the other demigods and the residents of Gandharva Loka, Apsara Loka, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, residents of Siddha Loka, Vidyadhara Loka, along with his associates called as Nanda and Sunanda. And even great sages headed by the Sanat Kumara, Kapila, Nardamani, Dattatreya, everyone was present in the sacrificial arena. So we'll listen. So these three verses described the people who were present there. Now, because of performing these sacrifices, the prosperity of his kingdom, they are actually described in the 7th, 8th and 9th verse. Yatra dharma duga bhumi sarva kama dugi duga sati dugdi smabipsitamartan yajamanasya bharata.
My dear Vidura, in their great sacrifice the entire land came to be like the milk producing Kamdhenu, and thus by the performance of yagga all daily necessities for life were supplied.
Yatra dharma duga bhumi. So when Prithu Maharaj performed these sacrifices, the mother earth became like a Kamadenu cow. So Kamadenu cow is that cow, it's also called a Surabhi cow, which can supply unlimited quantities of milk. And also it can actually fulfill whatever desire a person may have. So Mother Earth acted like that because of the performance of sacrifice. Dogdi asma abhipsitan artan yajamanasya bharata. All the necessities of human being and the different animals, everything was like profusely provided. Everything was profusely provided by Mother Earth. So Prabhupada in these purports, he actually again and again brings this point about the importance of performing yajna in order to actually get our daily necessities. Even to get things like jewels or gold or different things. Means like without the performance of yajna, it will be certain that the people will actually suffer. That their daily necessities will not be fulfilled, there will be less rain, there will not be grains. So this point is brought forth again and again. And then Prabhupada also mentions, but the yajna which is meant for Kali Yuga is Sankirtan yajna, because it is not possible to perform the fire sacrifice in this age. So therefore he says that if the Sankirtan yajna is performed, there will be no difficulty, not even in industrial enterprises. So therefore Sankirtan Yajna should be introduced in all the spheres of life. Social, political, industrial, commercial, etc. Then everything will run peacefully and smoothly. So Krishna explains in the third chapter, Saha Yajna Praja Srishtva Puro Vacha Prajapatihi Anena Prasavishyadvam Yesha Voshtvishta Kamaduk. So Prabhupada quotes this verse. So in the beginning Krishna actually created this world, and he created the Prajapatis, and then he created sacrifices, and then he told them that just be happy by the performance of sacrifices. By performing sacrifices you will get material prosperity in this world, you will also get liberation in the next world. So the progenitor, the Prajapatis, after creating the living entities and after creating the sacrifice, the Prajapati told all the living entities, just perform this sacrifice and in this way attain happiness in this world and also attain happiness in the next world. So Baldevidya Bhushan says that this Prajapati refers to Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu Chakotaku says that this Prajapati refers to Lord Brahma. But anyway, in both the cases the message is that one should perform sacrifices in order to actually get prosperity in this life and also liberation in the next life. Next verse. Uhu sarvarasan nadya kshiradadyanna gorasan తరవో భూరి వర్ష్మాణ ప్రాసూయంత మదుచ్యుతః.
The flowing rivers supplied all kind of taste, sweet, pungent, sour, etc. And very big trees supplied fruit and honey in abundance. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grasses, supplied profuse quantity of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities.
So we see, especially when you read these verses, a similar description comes in the first canto during Yudhishthira Maharaj's rule. And another place which I remember is that Parishit Maharaj's rule there also, and also in after Krishna was coronated as Govinda by Indra, after the Govardhan Leela, after he begged forgiveness, then he coronates Krishna as Govinda. Krishna, he gives the name Krishna as Govinda, and he performs the Abhishek ceremony of Krishna. So then also description comes how, like, because Krishna has been worshipped properly, there is proper performance of the yajna by pleasing the Lord, there is prosperity everywhere. So here we see here, like sometimes, like in our preaching, like when we talk about this concept of material world being miserable, sometimes we actually overemphasize that. In trying to actually tell that material world is miserable, many times we actually hide our mistake of not following Krishna's system. And Krishna says that Mama Petya Punarjanme Dukalayam Ashashvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmana Samsiddhim Paramamgatam. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Definitely this world is a place of misery, and it is temporary. But if we see, there are many statements in the scripture which says how there is so much of prosperity if we simply follow Krishna's system. Like for example here, like Prabhupada says, complete arrangements for the production of all the necessities of life are made with the Supreme Personality of God. If you read this statement, will you believe that this world is actually a miserable place? Like complete arrangements for the production of all the necessities of life are made by the Supreme Personality of God. So there is a difference between prison house and a concentration camp. See, during the Second World War, these Germans, they arrested so many Jews and then put them in the concentration camp. So in the concentration camp, people were given inhuman treatments. They were like tortured. Just like coming today morning, the chickens were kept. So many chickens were kept in a vehicle, maybe going to some poultry or whatever. They are put in such a small place, and they are actually tortured. So similarly, in a concentration camp, people were actually really tortured. They were not given even the basic necessities of life. They had to pass stool at the same place, and I don't know details, but I've heard from people that they were given very like inhuman treatments. But if you see a prison house is actually different from a concentration camp. In a prison house, people would be provided food, proper medical facilities would be given. Their freedom would be restricted, but then they would be given food properly. Sometimes like certain prisons, like prisoners, they want to go again and again to the prison house. But they feel that at least prison house mein at least teen bar khana milta hai, isliye. So they want to actually go there. So in the prison house, the punishment is given, the freedom is restricted, but then they are maintained properly. So similarly, Krishna has created this material world as a prison house and not as a concentration camp. And we have actually converted the prison house into a concentration camp because of not following Krishna's system. And we hide that our fault of not following Krishna's system by actually giving a sadistic picture of the Supreme Lord by saying that, oh, this material world is a miserable place. No, Krishna has made it as a prison house, but we have converted it into concentration camp. If you see, local trains are like concentration camps. We have made that actually. But Krishna never made such kind of arrangement actually. So we actually, many times, we hide our fault of not following Krishna's system in the name of actually giving a philosophy that, oh, this material world is a miserable place. So we have to actually introspect. Like, for example, that in the fifth canto, there is a similar description. In the, when Shrude Goswami gives description of Jambudvipa, he says, the residents of the material world who enjoy the products of these flowing rivers have no wrinkles on their bodies and no grey hair. They never feel fatigued, and perspiration does not give their bodies a bad odor. They are not afflicted by old age, disease or untimely death. They do not suffer from chilly cold or scorching heat, nor do their bodies lose their luster. They all live very happily without anxieties until death. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, this verse hints at the perfection of human society even within this material world. Even within this material world. The miserable conditions of this material world can be corrected by a sufficient supply of milk, yogurt, honey, ghee, molasses, food grains, ornaments, bedding, sitting places and so on. So because when we get these natural products, like for that if we follow the system given by Krishna for how to live in this world or this prison house of this world, then while living in this prison house, that we can live a comfortable life, and also by following the path given by Krishna, we can also go back to God at the end of the life. So that is how actually Krishna has made this world. So there is prison house, miseries are there. Complete, when you say complete arrangement is made in the prison house, that means like that complete arrangement also includes the miseries which are required for the prisoners, the punishments which are required for the prisoners to actually rectify them of their rebellious mentality. Now, along with that, proper facilities are also given to actually maintain the prisoners. So we have actually worsened the situation by not following the Krishna system. But whenever there are miseries, like say when there is a train accident or something, we say, oh, material world is a miserable place. It is true, definitely. But many of the miseries are actually created by, are aggravated by us. They are not actually in one sense like road accidents and so many other, they are not actually in one sense given by, of course it is coming ultimately from the material nature given by Krishna. But still, these are actually in one sense created by us because of following the unnatural way of life. If you accept Krishna's system, maybe a person would, still people will die, grow old, get disease and die. But then there would be like a natural sequence of, at least you would live for a certain number of years. But not following Krishna's system, we actually die, we get an untimely death, people get cancers and so many of these things. That is because of not following Krishna's system. So that we have to actually realize that we have to understand the difference between the prison house and the concentration camp. Like there is another place in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, if the whole society performs its respective duties and remains in Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt that all of its members will live very peacefully and happily. And then he says, without wanting the necessities of life, the whole world, means like this material world, will be turned into Vaikuntha, a spiritual abode. And even without being transferred to the spiritual world, by following injunctions of Srimad Bhagavatam and prosecuting the duties of Krishna consciousness, all human society will be happy in all respects. If you read these statements, that Prabhupada is saying, actually, without being transferred to the spiritual world, this world itself will be a happy place. He's mentioning that. Like another place, many other places, like in 7th canto, Prabhupada gives a similar description. And like that, different places it is there. So we have to understand the difference between a concentration camp and a prison house. So that is what is actually explained here. So here Prabhupada says here, if the rivers are actually allowed to flow in their natural path, when you do not obstruct the flow of the rivers, then the land will become very fertile and land will produce all kinds of vegetables, fruits, etc. And then he says that earth contains, as Krishna explained, that Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam Vidhi Partha Sanatanam. Says that earth contains actually all the seeds, all the earth contains all the taste and fragrance is there. And the land becomes fertile by the flow of the river, then all different kinds of foodstuffs, especially it's explained that there are four types of, there are different kinds of taste which people hanker for, either sugar or sweet or a combination of sugar and sweet. All these different kinds of foodstuffs will be actually produced by the earth, will be given by the earth. So then he explains, so therefore people should therefore learn how to satisfy the Yajna Purusha. Indeed, the living entities prime business is to satisfy the Lord, because the living entity is part and parcel of the Lord. And then he explains the purpose of the forest. The forest can actually produce sufficient quantity of honey and they can give so much of fruits, flowers, etc. And but unfortunately in Kali Yuga there are so many forests are cut down, but even there are so many trees, both those trees actually do not give any fruits or honey. So therefore the conclusion is that everything is dependent on the performance of yajna, and the yajna for this age is Sankirtan yajna. So that is being highlighted by Prabhupada again and again. Next verse. Sindavo ratna nikaran girayonnam chaturvidam upayanam upajahru Sarve loka sapalaka.
King Prithu was presented with various gifts from the general populace and predominating deities of all planets. The oceans and seas were full of valuable jewels and pearls, and the hills were full of chemicals and fertilizers. Four kinds of edibles were produced profusely.
So here it's explained, not only human beings, even animals, reptiles, aquatics and trees, all were actually getting the necessities. And especially oceans and seas, they contain many valuable jewels. And during Prithu Maharaj's time, oceans and seas were actually giving all those valuable jewels in profuse quantity. So Prabhupada explains that in the modern days, the present day setting, people go to ocean only for fishing, and they may actually fish tons of fish. They may get tons of fish, but one piece of coral or a diamond is actually much more valuable than even tons of fish. And then he says that nowadays oceans are not producing this, are not giving out these jewels, because there is no performance of yajna. And then he also mentions that mountains and hills, they contain so many valuable chemicals which can nourish the growth of food grains and vegetables. When there is proper rainfall, the chemicals on the mountains, those chemicals are actually washed away by the rain, and then they come to the land where people are growing grains and vegetables. And these chemicals are natural chemicals which act like a natural fertilizer, which will actually enhance the growth of the vegetables and this one. So he says that there are four kinds of foodstuffs, as we sing Chaturvidha Maam Bhajati in the Mangala Arati. These are known as Charvya, Chushya, Lehya and Peya. Edibles which are chewed, licked up, swallowed, and those which are drunk. So again he explains that when the personality of Godhead is pleased by the performance of Yajna, the hills automatically produce fertilizing chemicals which help produce edibles in the fields. Next verse. So now till the ninth verse, the prosperity in the kingdom of Prithu Maharaj was described. So now seeing this prosperity, especially because Prithu Maharaj, he has completed the 99 Ashwamedha sacrifice. When he was performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, so Indra became very much envious, because Indra is known as Shatakratu. A person can become Indra only when a person performs 100 Ashwamedha sacrifice. So Indra was very envious, that he was thinking that Prithu is going to occupy my position, or he is going to equal my record, and he comes to actually obstruct the 100 sacrifice of King Prithu. Iti chadoksha jeshasya prutostu paramodayam asuyan bhagavan indra pratigatam achikarat.
King Prithu was dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhokaja. Because King Prithu performed so many sacrifices, he was superhumanly enhanced by the mercy of the Supreme Personality God. King Prithu's opulence, however, could not be tolerated by the King of Heaven Indra, who tried to impede the progress of his opulence.
Asuyan Bhagavan Indra Pratigatam Achikarat. So Indra could not actually tolerate that Prithu Maharaj's progress, and he is performing the 100 sacrifice. So he comes to obstruct. So here Prabhupada explains, actually Indra and Prithu both were actually empowered incarnations of the Lord. In fact, the word used is Bhagavan Indra. Bhagavan Indra. But the difference between Prithu and Indra is that Prithu Maharaj never forgot his position as an eternal servant of the Lord, but Indra forgot his position as actually servant of the Lord. And he has become blinded by the false pride or false ego. And when a person is, because of being blinded by false ego, he has become completely indifferent to the welfare of the citizens. And he has become indifferent even to to the act of pleasing the Supreme Lord. But actually, because Prithu Maharaj is performing the sacrifice for the welfare of the citizens, but Indra, by trying to obstruct this, we can see that he has become completely oblivious to the fact that he is actually causing violence to the society, and he is actually trying to directly obstruct that act which pleases the Supreme Lord. But in the case of Prithu Maharaj, he never forgot his position as an eternal servant of the Lord, but Indra forgot his position. And Prabhupada also comments on this word, that iti chado adoksha jeshasya. So what was the source of Prithu Maharaj's opulence? Prithu Maharaj's opulence was not dependent on material conditions, but because he was a great devotee of the Lord, because he was dependent on Adokshaja, that was the source of his opulence. So if we see the difference between the masters and servants in the material world and the masters and servants in the spiritual world, is that In the material world, the are the masters with a material consciousness, we can say. The masters in material consciousness, they do not want their subordinates to actually grow. They want to actually they want to keep them in the same position. And the servants in material consciousness is that even though they are empowered by the masters, sometimes when they grow up, but after getting some power, they forget their previous condition. They forget that how actually they came to this position because of the mercy of the master. So here we see that Indra represents such a servant in material consciousness. He was empowered by the Supreme Lord, but he forgot his position, that the eternal servant of the Lord is trying to accept the sacrifice. But on the other hand, the master in spiritual consciousness is that he doesn't feel any insecurity in trying to actually make some subordinate, in trying to empower a subordinate, in trying to make him actually grow even above than him. And a servant in spiritual consciousness is that even though he becomes empowered, he never forgets his position as eternal servant of the Lord. This actually principle comes so many places. Like for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityanand Prabhu, once he called in the Jagannath Puri, he called Nityanand Prabhu and then told that you can perform a task that even I cannot do. Said that actually I cannot establish my mission in Gauda Desh, but you can fulfill this desire of mine. Even I cannot do, but you can actually establish the mission there. So he is in one sense making Nityananda Prabhu actually more glorious than himself. I cannot do, but you can do much more than me. You can do something which even I cannot do. But Nityananda Prabhu, what he replied, he said, my Lord, actually you are the life and I am just the body. There is no difference between the body and life, but still life is more important than the body. So because of you actually I am existing. And then he said, Achintya Shaktyekara Tumitahar Gatan Yekaraha Seikari Nahika Niyama. He said, actually by your inconceivable energy you can do whatever you like, and whatever you make me do I will do without restriction. So although Mahaprabhu is trying to say, Nityananda Prabhu, you can do something which even I cannot do, so Nityananda Prabhu is saying actually that is only because of your Achintya Shakti that you can make me do, you can make something do through my body without any restriction. So he is giving full credit to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is actually the consciousness of in the spiritual platform of the master and the servant. And of course another thing which I want to mention, which you will see of course again and again different places in the Bhagavatam, the demigods committing mistakes, like here Indra obstructs in the Prithumara sacrifice, or Brahmaji in the Brahma Vimohan Leela. We see in the ninth canto Soma actually running after the taking away the wife of Brihaspati. The demigods, they commit mistakes. But if you see the difference between an asura and a sura is that in the case of an asura, they are actually, an asura is absolutely prone to what is called as cognitive bias. Cognitive bias means like they make mistakes, or in the sense the mind, this is a term which is used by behavioral psychologists. Last week, weeks back, one devotee was giving a class, just mentioning, beautifully analyzed this point. Sir, according to behavioral psychologists, they say cognitive bias means that when the mind analyzes things, and many times when the mind makes mistakes, and that is called as cognitive bias. tendency to commit mistakes, tendency to judge the other person wrongly, like that. That is called as cognitive bias. But in the case of an asura is absolutely prone to cognitive bias. So sometimes they get right understanding. That too only for temporary period of time. But predominantly, they are actually always having the wrong understanding. Like for example, like Kamsa, after he killed the 6 children, when he saw that, when he saw that 8 child, Yogamaya, when he saw that, he became actually, at least for a moment, he realized his mistakes, he became little repentant, and he begged forgiveness, etc. But after some time, again, he went into the association of other ministers, and again he started atrocities. Next day itself. So if you say, like, temporarily he got a right understanding, but predominantly he only had wrong understanding. Jarasandha also, like, when he was defeated by Krishna, he thought, he went to perform austerities, and he started thinking that he also temporarily got a right understanding that he could understand his insignificant position. But later, again, being inspired by his other demonic people, but again he started actually preparing to fight another one. So, asuras, they temporarily get wrong understanding, but predominantly they are only prone to cognitive bias. They commit mistakes all the time. But in the case of asura, most of the times they have right understanding, but sometimes they also get subjected to the cognitive bias. They also commit mistakes. Just we see that in the case of Indra, Lord Brahma, etc. So basically everyone else in this world, they fall somewhere in the middle of the spectrum. Maybe different degrees of, maybe they are prone to commit mistakes sometimes. Some people may be 60% of the time, some people 40% of the time, like that. The different degrees, they fall in the different ways of the spectrum. So the purpose of actually Srimad Bhagavatam is how to attain that stage where one has the least cognitive bias, or we can say absolutely no cognitive bias. Means like to come to the liberated platform where a person becomes completely freed from these 4 defects of human being, where he will never commit mistakes, or he'll be completely freed from the cheating propensity. So here we see is a case where Indra becomes completely corrupted by envy, and he's trying to obstruct. Next verse.
Charameenashvamedena yajamane yajuspatim vainye yajna pashum spardhan apovaha tirohitaha.
When Prathu Maharaj was performing the last horse sacrifice, Ashwamedh Yajna, King Indra, invisible to everyone, stole the horse intended for sacrifice. He did this because of his great envy of King Prathu.
Cognitive bias. They get biased towards a wrong understanding. Always? Wrong understanding.
Oriented towards doing mistakes in general, but occasionally they get in that. But demigods are oriented towards the right decisions, but occasionally they. Both are called cognitive bias.
No, when they get oriented towards the wrong understanding, that it's called as maybe I have 1 minute. Yeah, cognitive biases, when the mind analyzes things and when they make mistakes, they are called as cognitive bias. That's what I had heard. The mind
so
makes
after
mistakes.
The result of analysis leads to mistakes, that is called cognitive
bias. So here, actually, one week back, Govind Prabhu was giving a seminar in the temple. He didn't tell the particular verse, but he was saying that actually it is mentioned in the scriptures that for one of the duties of Indra is that, like, sometimes when a person is performing lot of austerities or yajnas, one of the duties of Indra is actually to check that person, whether this person is actually a proper qualified person to come to heaven or to occupy a particular post. So sometimes in order to test the person with a good intention, he is actually, one of his duties is to actually allure that person by sending some apsaras or sending some obstacles in the person's life. But in this case, Indra is trying to upset Prithumara's sacrifice, like, not with the intention to actually test or something, but here actually deliberately with an envious attitude. And many other cases also sometimes he may be affected. But in general, he was saying that it's also sometimes he's actually, one of his duties is to actually check the person, whether this person can actually come to heaven or not. So, but here, in this case, Indra, although in one sense he may be performing his duty, but here he is not performing in the mood of detachment. He is actually performing with an envious attitude to disturb the Prithumara's sacrifice. So, he is trying to steal the horse which is meant to be sacrificed. So, if we see, in the case of Prithumara, he is performing a, it's a sacrifice, but it's still a karmakanda activity in the three modes of material nature. But in our case, we can say how we can relate to his, like, sometimes when somebody is doing book distribution. So, in one sense, we are actually giving the message of Krishna. It is like the it's like a very compassionate activity of directly giving Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. But sometimes, even in doing the most compassionate activity, because our consciousness being on the material platform, we might actually try to compete with the other person. Sometimes a person may even try to create some obstacles to some other person so that he doesn't get a score actually beyond than me. It has happened in certain times in the beginning. So here Indra, in one class Radhanaswami Maharaj explained, when he began to perform Ashwamedha sacrifices, because he had performed 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices, that's why he occupied the position of Indra. Maybe when he began performing the Ashwamedha sacrifices, he might have had only a selfless interest. He had only a desire to please the Lord. But then, as he started performing, and then as he continued to perform, as he performed 100 sacrifices, but now at this time, even though in the beginning he might have had a selfless interest predominantly, but now he has become attached to that position of being one who has performed 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. So that many times, initially we may have a selfless desire, but later it may become more of a selfish desire. Or initially we may have more of a selfless desire and little selfish desire. But somewhere down the line we get carried away and then we become more selfish and less selfless. And we try to obstruct somebody else who is doing a selfless activity. So here Indra is trying to do that. So Indra actually disguises himself as a sannyasi and then steals the horse which is meant for sacrifice. tam atrir bhagavan aikshat twaramanam vihayasa amuktam iva pakandam yo adharme dharma vibramaha.
When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it is falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation.
So here, Indra took up this dress up as sannyasi, and he created an impression of religion. That means, he said that Indra made people think what is irreligion to be religion. In the dress of a sannyasi, he was stealing the horse which was made for sacrifice, and by that act, by doing that act in disguise, he made people think adharma to be dharma. Krishna, in the 18th chapter, he describes intelligence in three modes. Intelligence in mode of goodness, he explains, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha karya karye baya baye bandham moksham cha yaveti buddhi sa partha sattviki. Says, when a person knows what is to be done and what is not to be done, and when a person knows what is dharma and what is adharma, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, and what is bondage and what is liberation, and that intelligence is in mode of goodness. It is like having the right kind of discrimination. And then he says, yaya dharmam adharmam cha karyam chakaryam eva cha ayatavat prajanati buddhi sa partha rajasi. When a person is unable to discriminate between what is dharma and adharma, it is intelligence and mode of passion. In the mode of passion, a person is confused as what is dharma and adharma. And in the mode of ignorance, he says, adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasavrita sarvartan viparitamcha buddhi sa partha tamasi. In the mode of ignorance, a person has the exactly opposite kind of discrimination. Considers adharma to be dharma and dharma to be adharma. So, in the mode of goodness, right kind of discrimination. Mode of passion is confused between what is right and wrong. Mode of ignorance is that exactly opposite to the right kind of discrimination. So here Indra is actually is inducing people to think what is wrong to be right. He is making people to think what is adharma to be dharma. So we can see that Prabhupada writes a very brilliant purport here. We'll try to read this. So first Prabhupada explains that what is actually the meaning of saffron. So the saffron dress worn by a sannyasi announces to the world that he has renounced all worldly affairs and is simply engaged in the service of the Lord. So that is the meaning of saffron. And then Prabhupada explains who is actually a true sannyasi. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya. A sannyasi is not a person who simply lights no fire or who has an external dress of a sannyasi, but actually one who performs his work without attachment to the fruits of the work. Such a person is actually a sannyasi. So here another point Prabhupada talks about the cheating propensity. He says that the conditions follow the tendency to cheat. This quality is also visible in a person like King Indra. And it is understood that even King Indra is not liberated from the clutches of material contamination. So if you see that what is actually the greatest service and what is the greatest disservice? One class, Sulana Sradhana Swami Maharaj is explaining. He said, actually the greatest service is actually to act or to speak and to behave in such a way that you raise the faith of the people in the right things. To act or speak or to behave in such a way that you actually increase the faith of the people in the process of Krishna consciousness, in the process of following the right dharma, the right ways of life. So that is actually the greatest service. And the greatest disservice is to act in such a way, or behave in such a way that you actually break the faith of the people in the right things. So here, in that sense, if you see, Indra is doing the greatest disservice by disguising as a sannyasi. He is making people to think what is adharma to be dharma. So, in that sense, he is doing the greatest disservice. So, if you see, there are so many, like what Indra is doing in the modern world also, there are so many people who actually represent Indra. Like for example, you know this word, term, euphemism. Euphemism. Euphemism means, it's like sometimes when you want to tell some harsh reality, some harsh event, like in order that people don't get affected by the harshness of that event, you try to tell in an inoffensive or using some indirect expressions. Just so that people don't get a sudden shock, slightly try to tone down that whole event. Inoffensive or indirect expression that is substituted for that which is considered offensive or too harsh. That is called a euphemism. So euphemism is usually supposed to be used for just so that people don't get affected by some sudden shock of a harsh reality or some difficult subject matter, some difficult thing, event which has happened. But in the modern world, people use euphemism to make evil appear good. Like, they use actually euphemisms to actually to make the wrong things appear as if it is good. Like for example, there are like places where there are some places called strip clubs. People go to actually watch nude people. But such clubs are named as gentlemen's club. It's like what is considered to be something absolutely wrong. They use these terms to actually to make something is done by some gentlemanly people. Chaitanya Charitamrita has written an article. The gentleman's club is no place for gentlemen except for those who want to gently deny the reality that they are no longer gentlemen. And they use terms like adult entertainment. If a person has become matured, he is supposed to watch. So it's actually meant for degraded people, but using terms, they actually hide the harsh reality, in the sense like they try to make the evil appear as if it is good. So that is what is called as adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasavrita. So if you see like newspaper, picture which contains completely some obscene picture of some nude women or some, and next to that there is another news article which tells that some 10-year-old girl has been raped, and it doesn't require much intelligence to actually understand how this news article is because of like other picture which is actually put on the side. The newspaper, all the news agencies, they take pity on such events which has happened. But they themselves are actually portraying so many things which actually induce people to act in such manner. So that is actually, so all these newspapers, they actually represent Indra, who are making appear adharma to be dharma. Or another example, like previously, sports were considered like it is meant for recreation, cricket, football, etc. But now the media and the they have made the like sports as if like they have made people mad after sports, and instead of considering sports as a recreation, they are considering game as equivalent to life. Means in the sense, when suppose India loses a match, we see people actually destroying their TV sets. There were actually newses like when Pakistan or some India, when they lose match, people actually destroy their TV sets and they commit suicides. So that means when people are committing like suicides, that means they felt like there is no purpose in like living their life. So that means they have equated game with the life. So game should not be equal to life, but they have equated game with the life. Or equating life with a game. That means when people when people want to say get married or this one, they mainly consider just to act, how to actually conquer this particular girl, how to actually win over this girl, how to we run away with the girl. They mainly consider that kind of act as a conquest, and they don't consider, they don't give importance to the long lasting relationship which one should have for like for the rest of the life. So they mainly, they consider, they instead of that, the life is about actually having a long lasting relationship with the other partner. But because they are treating life as a game, so they are actually considering real conquest as actually just winning over the other person by someone, instead of giving importance to a long lasting relationship. So if we see that this is what is actually depicted by the word adharmam dharmam itiya. And another point which Prabhupada writes here, so he says here, this cheating was very foolishly introduced by King Indra. Cheating sannyasis and yogis have existed since the time of Prithumara sacrifice, and this cheating was foolishly introduced by King Indra. And in some ages the cheating is very prominent, and some ages it is not so prominent. And then he quotes the Mahaprabhu's statement to the devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sannyasira alpachidra sarva loke gai. Common people, when they see even a small fault in a sannyasi, they actually magnify it. So therefore a sannyasi has to be very cautious in executing his duties. So if we try to understand the statement, sannyasira alpachidra sarva loke gai. So once Radha Gopinathru was saying, the tendency of common people is that, was saying, suppose if a devotee was saying, especially with respect to brahmacharis, was saying, say brahmacharis is there in saffron, the tendency of the common people or the congregation, if you are at this level, they try to actually make you feel as if you are at this level. And he said, and then when you commit a small mistake, and then when you come from this level to this level, and then they will actually drag you down to this level. That means like, the point is that when you make a small mistake, the common people, they try to magnify it as if they go down. So that is the tendency of common people. But then the other points are, of course, that doesn't mean that we have to justify, I'm not at, we have to take responsibility for the mistake, definitely. But the other point which Prabhupada is saying is that, therefore, unless one is very sincere and serious, he should not take up the order of sannyas. And one should not use this order as a means to cheat the public. It is better not to take up sannyas in this age of Kali, because provocations are very strong in this age. Only a very exalted person, advanced in spiritual understanding, should attempt to take up sannyas. And one should not adopt this order as a means of livelihood for some material purpose. So if we see that, so this is like very, very important purport about, like especially, like we may not be sannyasis, but still taking the saffron dress, it actually, people, many times it is considered equivalent to sannyas or something. So in that sense, that's a great responsibility. And if you compare this incident, like Indra becoming a sannyasi and stealing horse, with another incident in the 10th canto, Arjuna also, he dressed as a sannyasi and then he kidnapped Subhadra. But the difference is that in the case of Arjuna, he actually first took up the permission of Yudhishthira Maharaj before doing that. And then he also took the permission of Krishna before actually trying to kidnap Subhadra, before doing the particular act. So we cannot, both the events are there, but then we have to see, like Arjuna's doing that act is not same as actually Indra. Usually when a person becomes, if you see, in the case of usually when a person becomes lusty or becomes overwhelmed with an anartha, he doesn't care about the surroundings and he completely forgets all the formalities. But in the case of Arjuna, he was on a pilgrimage tour, but still he got attracted to Subhadra, but then still he made it a point to send some messenger to Yudhishthira Maharaj and then take permission from Yudhishthira Maharaj, and then he actually went to kidnap Subhadra. It's not something like he was infatuated by some lust or something. Here Indra was actually infatuated by his actual attachment to the position. And so like that. So next to us.
Atrina chodito hantum prutuputro maharataha anvadavata sankruddhas tishta tishteti chabravit.
Son of King Prithu was informed by Atri of King Indra's trick. He immediately became very angry and followed Indra to kill him, calling, "Wait, wait."
So Prithumara's son, he actually followed after Indra, who was in the dress of a sannyasi. And he told Indra, "Just wait." But Indra did not wait. Prithumara's son followed after him, but Indra, as a kshatriya, he should have actually waited. So here Indra, he not only disguised himself as a sannyasi and then corrupted that order of sannyas by doing an abominable act, by disturbing the sacrifice, but he is also actually not performing his role as a kshatriya. As a kshatriya, he should have waited when another kshatriya is actually calling him, "Do not run away." But he has actually forgotten even his duties as a kshatriya because of his being blinded by the false pride. But here, Prithumara's son, when he saw that horse was being carried by a person, but when he saw that this person was taking the horse was a sannyasi, he actually gave a benefit of doubt to Indra. And he did not attack Indra. Vishnu Chakravar explains in the next verse purport, Prithumara's son thought, maybe this person with this dress must be following Dharma somewhat by seeing Lord Shiva and others. Like Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava, but then he dresses himself as a, with like, by smearing his body with the ashes, he doesn't take body with the skulls. But he is actually the greatest Vaishnava. So he thought that maybe externally he is performing this act of some stealing, but he must be following somewhat dharma like Lord Shiva. So therefore he gave a benefit of doubt to Indra, and then he did not actually attack him. But at that time Atri Muni tells, let's read the next verse, 14th verse.
Tam tadra tadrusha kritim vikshya mene dharmam sharirinam jatilam basmana channam tasmai banam na munchati.
King Indra was brilliantly dressed as a sannyasi, having knotted his hair on his head and smeared ashes all over his body. Upon seeing such dress, the son of King Prithu considered Indra a religious man and pious sannyasi. Therefore, he did not release his arrows.
Yeah, next verse. Vadan nivrittam tambuyo hantavetrir achodayat jahi yajnyahanam tata mahendram vibudadamam.
When Atri Muni saw that the son of King Prithu did not kill Indra but returned deceived by him, Atri Muni again instructed him to kill the heavenly king, because he thought that Indra had become the lowliest of all demigods due to his impeding the execution of King Prithu's sacrifice.
So here we see, like, because Prithu Maharaj's son was a cultured person, so he saw that this person is in the dress of a sannyasi, so he actually left. So if you see the difference between a spiritual and a material civilization, they give respect for wealth. But in a spiritual civilization, what is respected is actually renunciation. So in the spiritual civilization, they honor the greatest wealth is renunciation, knowledge and devotion. These three are considered to be the greatest wealth. And material society thinks that the forms that will give us sense gratification is wealth, and that is considered great in the material society. And like Radhana Samar was explaining in one class, he said that if you are in the role of a sadhu, you have to be genuinely renounced, and you have to be completely compassionate to give your life for the benefit of others, and you have to be learned in the shastra. And no one else would put on the role of a sadhu, and it was not a begging profession, but it was actually a giving profession. So especially the 12th verse purport is like a very important, the last section, where Prabhupada is explaining that a sannyasi means one has to be serious and sincere, and third is one has to be very cautious to take up the order of sannyas, and fourth is, unless one is highly advanced in spiritual understanding, one should not take up sannyas, fourth. And then he explains that one should not use his dress as a means of earning livelihood or any material purpose. And then sixth point he mentions is that especially in Kali Yuga, it's better to avoid sannyas where the provocations are very strong in this age. These are 6 points we mentioned on that purport.
You can repeat what is spiritual civilization and material
civilization. Yeah, material civilization, they give value to the wealth. They give value to anything which actually gives sense gratification, wealth or external beauty, etc. But spiritual civilization, what is valued is knowledge, detachment and devotion. So, because Prithu Maharaj's son was, he was actually trained in that culture, he actually did not attack Indra. But Atri Muni could see that Indra has become the lowliest of the demigods. Vibhuda Adamamam. He has become the lowliest of the demigods. Therefore, he is telling Prithu Maharaj's son to actually attack him and get back the horse. So, 16th verse.
Evam Vainyasuta Proktas Twaramanam vihayasa anvadravad abhikruddo ravanam gritaradiva.
Being thus informed, the grandson of King Vena immediately began to follow Indra, who was fleeing through the sky in great haste. He was very angry with him, and he chased him just as a king of the vultures chased Ravana.
So here is a comparison given. Just like Jatayu fought with Ravana, so here Prithumara's son is being compared to Jatayu, and he fought, he went to fight with Indra, who is compared to Ravana. Here, the great haste. So at this time, Indra, he leaves the horse, he leaves the sannyas dress also, and then he disappears. So he does this, actually repeats this again and again. So we'll see the description. Soshvam rupam cha tadhitva tasma antarhitasvarat virasva pashumadaya pitur yagyam upeyivan.
When Indra saw that the son of Prithu was chasing him, he immediately abandoned his false dress and left the horse. Indeed, he disappeared from that very spot, and the great hero, the son of Maharaj Prithu, returned the horse to his father's sacrificial arena.
So another thing we can see here is that, like in the case of Indra, like we saw the personalities were present in the sacrificial arena. There's so many demigods and the sages, but we can see the nature of like false pride. It can completely blind a person that even in the presence of such great personalities, one is to do some mistake when a person, somebody is alone, that is like one thing. But in the even in the presence of so many great personalities, Indra actually personally came to actually steal the horse. So we can see the how the anarthas can completely blind a person. Next verse. So Prithumara's son returned the horse back to the sacrificial arena. So when the Prithumara's son returned, then all the sages, all the priests, they actually appreciated Prithumara's son, and they named him as Vijitashva, one who got back the horse, one who conquered the horse. Tattasya chadbutam karma vichakshya paramarshayah namadeyam dadustasmai Vijitashvayiti Prabhu.
My dear Lord Vidur, when the great sages observed the wonderful prowess of the son of King Prithu, they all agreed to give him the name
Vijitashva. So you'll see later also, this incident comes fourth canto, if I remember, I think 25th chapter. 24th chapter. That is one. Another name of Vijitashva is called as Antardana. Antardana means one who can disappear at one's will. So the reason is that because Indra became pleased with Vijitashva later, and then he gave him the mystic power of disappearing at one's will. Because Indra later, when he came to his senses, he felt that, oh, this Vijitashva did not attack me. Even though I was doing an abominable act, because I was the dress of a sannyasi, he still respected me. And he did not attack me. Even though he knew that I am Indra, but still he gave a benefit of doubt and he did not actually attack me. So therefore Indra became pleased with that act of Vijitashva. So therefore he gave this actually boon of disappearing at one's will. So then he was called as Antardana. So we can see the principle is that trust begets trust. So Vijitashva, he gave a benefit of doubt to Indra. It means like he trusted Indra even though he was performing an abominable act. Maybe he has some purpose, or oh, he is Indra, so I should not attack him. He trusted. And that trust in Indra, that because of that he gained the trust of Indra, that Indra gave him the mystic power to Vijitashva, so therefore he became known as Antardana. So that description comes later. Upasrajya tamastivram jaharashvam punarharihi chashala yupatashchanno hiranyarashanam vibhu.
Indra, being the king of heaven and very powerful, immediately brought a dense darkness upon the sacrificial arena. Covering the whole scene in this way, he again took away the horse, which was chained with golden shackles near the wooden instrument where animals were sacrificed.
So again, now when the horse was again brought back, horse was tied to the sacrificial pole with a golden rope. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur writes that because that golden rope could not be cut, so what Indra did is he created a dense darkness so that nobody could see anything, and then he took away the horse along with the golden rope, just somehow twisted near the pole where the rope is actually tied to the pole. Along with the golden rope he actually stole.
Atri sandarshayam asatvaramanam vihayasa kapala katvang gadaram viro nainam abadata.
The great sage Atri again pointed out to the son of King Prithu that Indra was flying through the sky. The great hero, the son of Prithu, chased him again. But when he saw that Indra was carrying in his hand a staff with a skull at the top and was again wearing the dress of a sannyasi, he still chose not to kill him.
So this time again he wore a dress of a sannyasi, but a different type of a dress of a sannyasi. That with a skull and with a staff in his hand, with a skull on the top. So again, Prithumara's son did not actually choose to kill him. Again, Atrimani gives directions, and when Prithumara's son goes to attack him, again Indra becomes invisible and leaves the horse and goes away. Atrina choditastasmai sandade vishikam rusha. Soshvam rupam cha tadhitva tastav antarhitasvarat.
When the great sage Atri again gave directions, the son of King Prithu became very angry and placed an arrow on his bow. Upon seeing this, King Indra immediately abandoned the false dress of a sannyasi and giving up the horse made himself invisible.
Viras chashvam upadaya pitra yagyam atavrajat tadavadyam hare rupam jagruhur jnana durbala.
Then the great hero Vijitashva, the son of King Prithu, again took the horse and returned to his father's sacrificial arena. Since that time, certain men with a poor fund of knowledge have adopted the dress of false sannyasi. It was King Indra who introduced this.
So here we see that Indra coming again and again in the dress of a sannyasi to steal the horse, that became the starting point of many people trying to cheat in the dress of a sannyasi. So Indra introduced many upper sampradayas. So many common people, they started thinking, if Indra can go without getting punished, although he is doing abominable activity in the dress of a sannyasi, so we can also do and we will also not get punished. We can also do similar acts and will not get punished. And Vishnu Chakra Thakur says many people, they started their own sampradaya which propagated ideas to spoil sacrifice. So Indra is dressing sannyasi to spoil the sacrifice. Similarly, many upper sampradayas started, their purpose was to spoil the sacrifice, and their goal of sacrifice, they defined the goal of sacrifice as attainment of others' powers and others' wealth, like stealing others' wealth and making the body disappear. And in this way, many upper sampradayas started. So if we see that in Indra and Prithu Maharaj, Indra, because he doesn't have a Prabhupada writes in, of course, in the later that 20th verse, in one of the translation, Prabhupada explains that Indra and Prithu Maharaj both were envious of each other. He just mentions that, he doesn't elaborate on the translation, but the point is that when two great leaders, when they are fighting, like Indra and Prithu Maharaj, they are actually fighting, or Indra is trying to perform a sacrifice, Prithu Maharaj is performing a sacrifice, Indra is trying to obstruct. But their fighting is actually leading to the introduction of many upper sampradayas. It is actually making many common people into, it is inspiring many common people to take the path of adharma. But on the other hand, if we see, and sometimes apparently two simple devotees who may not be in some big position, but simple devotees, when they happily hear and chant and perform sankirtan, and that can actually inspire even great people who are in big position to become devotees. Just like in one class I was hearing that in the Agasura pastime, the cowherd boys, of course they are pure devotees of the Lord, but from one point of view they didn't have any, just apparently simple cowherd boys, they didn't have any position. But they're like playing the games and performing kirtan and playing together very happily. That influenced Agasura, that for a moment Agasura thought, for a moment he took pleasure in their company. And later when Krishna killed Agasura, Krishna took away all the sins, and then what remained was that one credit for a moment he actually took pleasure in the company of the cowherd boys. And because of that he got Sarupya Mukti. So it's like we can see that that like even Prataprudra Maharaj, he got influenced by the devotees from Bengal performing Sankirtan. So in that sense, when two great leaders fight, it can actually introduce, it can make common people take the path of adharma. And when simple, apparently even simple devotees, when they happily perform devotional service, that can induce even great people, it can transform even great people's hearts. So here Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says that actually initially there was only one sannyas, that is the Tridandi sannyas of the Vaishnava line. But later Shankaracharya introduced a Ekadandi sannyas. And then he says, but after this incident of Indra, there are many other upper sampradayas, there are many other sannyas orders which are not approved by the Vedas, they were introduced. So, and that list is mentioned in one of the later verses. And Prabhupada writes, like sometimes we see that sannyasis, they also engage in sinful activities, they are forbidden with the shastras, they indulge in illicit sex, intoxication and gambling, and they eat meat, fish, sometimes in certain, say, Arctic region, very cold region, and they say, oh, it is not practical to eat only vegetarian food, we have to eat these things. And in the name of serving the sannyasis introduce all these sinful activities in the name of serving the poor, and consequently poor animals are cut to pieces and go into the bellies of these sannyasis, and they are called as actually Pakandis. So Prabhupada says Pakandi or Pashandi, both are same. So he quotes this verse, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatai Samatvenaiva Viksheta Sa Pashandi Bhavedruvam. One who considers Brahma or Shiva to be on the same position as Vishnu is called as Pashandi. And then he says that how to kill all these Pashandis. We can kill all these Pashandis only by introducing the Sankirtan movement. And how to save ourselves from these Pashandis? So only by taking advantage of the Sankirtan movement, we can actually save ourselves from these Pashandis. So Prabhupada concludes the purport.
Yani Rupani Jagrhe Indro Hayajghirshaya Tani Papasya Kandani Lingam Kandam Vihochate.
Whatever different forms Indra assumed as a mendicant because of his desire to seize the horse were symbols of atheistic philosophy.
So all these different forms which Indra assumed, they are actually symbols of passionate, they are symbols of atheistic philosophy. They are symbols of sinful people, symbols of sin. So one has to, Prabhupada again emphasizes, one has to accept sannyas according to the parampara system. And then he explains, in Kali Yuga, that says in Kali, such sannyas was introduced by Indra because of the jealousy of Maharaj Prithu, and what he introduced is again appearing in this age of Kali. So practically none of the sannyasis in this age are bona fide, and no one can introduce any new system into the Vedic way of life. Again he quotes this verse, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivat. So Prabhupada explains that actually even to when a person considers even Brahma or Shiva to be on the same position as Vishnu, such a person is considered as an atheist. What to speak of making a poor man as Narayan by this concept of Daridra Narayan? Even to make Brahma or Shiva to be Narayan is actually an atheistic philosophy. And when you say, oh, even a poor man is a Narayan, serving the poor is equivalent to Narayan Seva, then it is also even more actually condemned. So therefore he says that these terms like Daridra Narayan or Swami Narayan, they are actually atheistic philosophies. So we can see one thing is that we need Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One is the form and the substance. Like when a person has the form of a sannyasi, but if a person does not have the substance of sannyas, then what the result is that it actually corrupts the form also. So common people, they start getting doubt, oh, anyone in this dress is actually bona fide. They look only with a suspicious outlook. And when a person has a spirit of sannyas, but then if he does not have the form of sannyas, then in certain culture it may not be able to preach effectively. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted the dress of a sannyasi in order to actually reach out to a greater number of people. So we need the spirit as well as the form. So without the form, the spirit will get, without the spirit, the form will get corrupted. And in order to reach out to a greater number of people, along with the spirit, we may also have to adopt the form. At least, as long as there is some respect for the sadhus. So next verse.
Evam indre haratyashvam vainya yagnya jigamsaya tadgrihita visrishteshu pakandeshu matirnam dharma yatyupa dharmeshu nagna rakta patadishu prayena sajyate brantya peshaleshu chavagmishu.
In this way, King Indra, in order to steal the horse from King Prathu's sacrifice, adopted several orders of sannyas. Some sannyasis go naked, and sometimes they wear red garments and pass under the name of Kapalika. These are simply symbolic representations of their sinful activities. These so-called sannyasis are very much appreciated by sinful men because they are all godless atheists and very expert in putting forward arguments and reasons to support their case. We must know, however, that they are only passing on adherents of religion and are not so in fact. Unfortunately, bewildered persons accept them as religious, and being attracted to them, they spoil their life.
So here Prabhupada says, gives different types of wrong sannyas orders, or different types of sannyasas which Indra accepted. So Prabhupada explained that these so-called sannyasis are very much appreciated by sinful men because they are godless atheists and very expert in putting forward arguments and reasons to support their case. So there are four types of wrong sannyas or unbona fide sannyas orders are described. So one kind of sannyas order is that some sannyasis who are naked. So Vishnu Chakravarti says this refers to actually Jain sannyasis. And then another kind of sannyas order he mentions that those who wear completely red cloth, it refers to like Buddhist sannyasis. And then the word Adishu refers to followers of Lord Shiva who carry a skull and also others as well. And then the fourth is that those who speak superficially very nice and logical words. Peshaleshu Vagmishu. There are many spiritualists, in speaking they may speak very pleasingly using so many word jugglery and very logically, maybe expert with so much of phrases, etc. And they can captivate the people. But such people are also actually come under one of the unbona fide sannyas orders. Unfortunately, bewildered persons accept them as religious and being attracted to them, they spoil their life. So Prabhupada explains that. So therefore, the only religion is surrender unto the Supreme Lord and you must serve the Lord in Krishna consciousness. So we'll take a 5 minutes break and then continue. he'll continue. Verse number 26. Tad avijnaya bhagavan prutuparakramah indraya kupito banam adatto dyata karmukah.
Maharaj Prutu, who was celebrated as very powerful, immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself, because Indra had introduced such irreligious sannyas orders.
So now Prutu Maharaj himself, he actually takes up the bow and arrow and he goes to actually kill Indra. So because Indra has introduced many irreligious systems, and you know the duty of a king is to actually to destroy anybody who actually tries to introduce irreligious systems. So because it is the duty of King Prutu, so therefore he is trying to actually go to attack King Indra. So Prabhupada explains that when the government does not punish those people who actually introduce irreligious systems, then what is the result of that? The citizens become more and more uninterested in spiritual advancement, and then the situation deteriorates to such an extent that the whole world becomes hellish. So this is the purport which Prabhupada gives. Next verse. Tam ritvija shakra vidabhi sanditam vichakshya dushprekshyam asasya ramhasam nivarayam asuraho mahamate na yujyate tranyavada prachoditat.
When the priest and all the others saw Maharaj Prutu very angry and prepared to kill Indra, they requested him, "O great soul, do not kill him, for only sacrificial animals can be killed in a sacrifice. Such are the direction given by Shastras."
So here the priest actually stopped Maharaj Prutu, saying that except for a sacrificial animal, nobody else can be killed. And they try to stop him. And then the next few verses are very beautiful. They say that actually Indra has already lost his power because of trying to impede in your sacrifice. And we will actually call Indra by chanting the Vedic mantras, and we will call Indra to this particular fire. We will destroy him by chanting the Vedic mantras. That's what they say.
Vayam marutvantam iharta nashanam svaya mahetva shravasahatatvisham ayatayamo pahavairanantaram prasakhya rajan juhavamate hitam.
Dear King, Indra's powers are already reduced due to his attempt to impede the execution of your sacrifice. We shall call him by Vedic mantras which were never before used, and certainly he will come. Thus, by the power of our mantra, we shall cast him into the fire, because he is your enemy.
So here it is explained that simply by trying to impede in your sacrifice, he has been already reduced in power. So you can see the same principle in the opposite this also. When somebody is powerful or somebody is having a good quality, simply by appreciating that person's good quality or that person's advancement, even without we doing something, simply by appreciating that, we can make more advancement. Like Radhana Swami Maharaj explained that simply by appreciating others' advancement, we can make more advancement than the other person. Although that advancement may be invisible, but one can make more advancement than the other person. So here Indra, by trying to impede in Prithu Maharaj's performance of sacrifice, by impeding in his advancement, his power is reduced. So similarly, by appreciating others' advancement, we can advance. And we can see here, like this concept, in the case of a great soul, I think the third canto, third chapter also, when Uddhava was recollecting different incidents about Krishna, so he speaks this verse concerning how Krishna actually conquered Nagnajiti, one of the queens. So in that regard he says there were seven bulls covered with the blows of a multitude of weapons. Krishna remained uninjured, and with their own weapons Krishna first tamed the bulls and then he conquered Nagnajiti. There are so many other kings who had also come to marry Nagnajiti, but then they attacked Krishna and they shot so many weapons at Krishna, but Krishna, he remained uninjured, and with their own weapons he actually killed them. Means like what they weapons which they used to attack Krishna, those weapons only actually killed themselves. So the why I am quoting this verse is that simply by that act of trying to attack a great soul, by that act itself, that great soul will not get affected, but by that act of trying to attack the kill the great soul, disturb the great soul's act, by that act our power gets reduced, we only get degraded. It is like spitting on the sun. We only get more contaminated. So next verse. Here there is one more point which Vishnu Chakravarti mentions. Shall mention this point. So one may wonder, these priests are actually telling Prithu Maharaj not to kill Indra. They are saying only animal can be sacrificed. But after telling that, they are saying that we will call Indra and then we will actually kill him, Indra, by chanting the mantras. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that these priests, though this particular Indra was an avatar of the Lord and the priests were not materialists, they spoke in this way to show the nature of those people who are following the path of karma. And then he says, those people who are following the path of karma, even though they may be intelligent, they become blind. So just like Brahma becomes blind by lust, or Shiva becomes blind by anger, the nature of Indra, who is the avatar of Vishnu, is revealed to have envy and crookedness. So here if we see, Indra has become blind by practicing the path of karma. So if we just compare the path of karma and the path of bhakti, in the 6th canto, 18th and 19th chapter, there also Indra becomes overwhelmed with the emotion of hatred, and Diti was trying to perform the Pumsavana sacrifice in order to get a child who can kill Indra. Indra goes to assist her with the intention to kill the child in the womb of Diti. But there Indra's initial intention was to actually hatred, to kill the child in the womb of Diti. But he was engaged in the path of bhakti. Because Diti was performing devotional service, Indra was trying to assist her in her devotional service. So with a bad motivation, he started following the path of bhakti, and eventually he became purified. But here Indra, as Maharaj explained, initially when Indra started performing sacrifice, he may not have had such a serious obsession with power or position. He might not have had a very serious bad motivation. But by following the path of karma, and at this point he has become very blind. He has become obsessed with power. So that is the superiority of the path of bhakti over the path of karma. Even when a person approaches with an impure motivation, path of bhakti actually elevates a person. But the path of karma, even if a person has some good motivation, it can actually degrade a person, because the path of karma is under the three modes of nature. Next verse.
Ityamantriya kratupatim vidura vidurasyavarpijorusha srugastan juhvato vyetya swayambhu pratyashedata.
So they stopped Prithu Maharaj, but they themselves were angry, and when they were about to actually bring Indra into the sacrificial fire, that time Brahma comes to actually stop them.
Na vadyo bhavatam Indro yadyagyo bhagavattanu yam jigam sata yagyena yasyeshtastana vasura.
Lord Brahma addressed them thus: my dear sacrificial performers, you cannot kill Indra, the king of heaven. It is not your duty. You should know that Indra is as good as the supreme personality of Godhead. Indeed, he is one of the most powerful assistants of the personality of Godhead. You are trying to satisfy all the demigods by the performance of this yagya, but you should know that all these demigods are but parts and parcels of Indra, the king of heaven. How then can you kill him in this great sacrifice?
So Brahmaji speaks 9 verses from 30 to 38. So here Brahmaji gives different reasons why the 100th sacrifice, why Indra should not be killed, and why the 100th sacrifice should be stopped. He tells the priest, and then he speaks to Prithu Maharaj. So first thing he says is that you should not kill Indra because he is a body of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, by trying to kill Indra, you are actually trying to cause harm to the body of the Supreme Lord. And then he mentions, if you do that, then what is the use of being Brahmanas? Brahmaji is using the word, na vadyo bhavatam Indro. Bhavatam, what is the use of being Brahmanas then? And then Brahmaji says, actually, you are desiring to kill Indra by this sacrifice. Who is the personification of sacrifice? You are trying to kill the personification of sacrifice by sacrifice. So why are you trying to do that? So that is the second point he mentions. Brahmaji is saying, it is like throwing a small amount of milk in a fire. Vishnu Chakravarti's comment. No, he doesn't elaborate this point. And the third point which Brahmaji is saying is that actually all the demigods who are worshipped in this sacrifice, they are all parts of Indra's body. See, if you are trying to worship so many demigods, but they are all parts of Indra's body, and then how can you actually hope to kill Indra? By trying to kill Indra, you are also trying to kill all the other demigods who are parts of Indra's body. And of course, Prabhupada explains that Indra is as good as the Supreme Lord because Indra is an avatar of the Lord. So do not, Prabhupada also mentioned the same points in the translation. Next verse.
Tadidam pashyatamahad dharma vyatikaram dvija indrenanu tishtitam rajya karmaitad vijigamsata. In order to make trouble and impede the performance of King Prathu's great sacrifice, King Indra has adopted some means that in the future will destroy the clear path of religious life. I draw your attention to this fact. If you oppose him any further, he will further misuse his power
and introduce many other illegitimate systems.
So here the Brahmaji gives the fourth reason. He says that actually by trying to kill Indra, it will result in the increase of irreligion. He has already introduced many irreligious systems, and by you trying to kill Indra, adharma will only increase. He will introduce more irreligious systems. So I draw your attention to this fact. If you oppose any further, he will further misuse his power and introduce many other religious systems. Means what Brahmaji is saying is that if you try to oppose and if you try to attack Indra, it will bring out even more the bad side of Indra, and he will introduce even more irreligious systems. So therefore stop doing. Next verse. Prithu kirte prithor bhuyat tarhye ko nashatak kratuhu alam te kratu bisvishtair yadbhavan moksha dharma ved.
Let there be only 99 sacrificial performances for Maharaj Prithu, Lord Brahma concluded. Lord Brahma then turned towards Maharaj Prithu and informed him that since he was thoroughly aware of the path of liberation, what was the use in performing more sacrifices?
So 30th and 31st verses were spoken by Lord Brahma specifically to the priest. Now from 32nd to 38th verse, he is specifically addressing to Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj is saying, what are you suggesting that I should do? So Brahmaji is saying, let there be just 99 sacrifice. Stop performing the 100 sacrifice. Ekona shatak kratuhu. So here Brahmaji says, this will give him greater fame than Indra with his 100 sacrifices. Our Prabhupada writes in the purport, and Prithu Maharaj stops performing the 100 sacrifice, he will get the blessings of Lord Brahma, but by the blessings of Lord Brahma, he will become more famous than Indra. So 99 is less than 100. But 99 plus blessings of Lord Brahma is actually greater than 100. So we can see that it's a very important section. Like in the first canto we saw that Yudhishthira Maharaj performed only 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices, but he was actually as opulent as he was as famous as Indra. So here Brahmaji, he is concerned about the welfare of the universe. He is seeing that so many irreligious systems are being introduced. So he descends here especially to actually stop Prithu Maharaj start performing the 100 sacrifice. So one may ask, one of the later verses explained, Indra, Prithu Maharaj is asking, why are you not telling anything to Indra? Indra is the person who is doing all the causing all the problems. Instead of chastising him, instead of instructing him, why are you coming and advising us? So Brahmaji says, actually out of all the demigods, Indra is known for his stubborn nature. So because Indra is stubborn, so therefore I am not telling anything to him, because I know that he is not going to change. So the fact that Brahmaji comes to Prithu Maharaj, it shows that Prithu Maharaj, he has great trust in Prithu Maharaj. So difference between Prithu Maharaj and Indra is that we saw that both were empowered incarnations of the Lord, but then Indra forgot his position, but Prithu Maharaj never forgot his position as servant of the Lord. Another difference is that Prithu Maharaj is a flexible devotee, but Indra is a stubborn devotee. So that is why Lord Brahma actually approached Prithu Maharaj for telling him to stop performing the sacrifice. And the third difference is that both Indra and Prithu are devotees, but Indra is a faithful devotee, but Prithu Maharaj is a trusted devotee. So faithful devotee is that devotee who has faith in the Lord, but trusted devotee is that devotee on whom the Lord has faith, or on whom the Lord or the representatives have the faith. So because Lord Brahma has faith in Prithu Maharaj, so therefore he is coming to actually tell him that you stop performing the 100 sacrifices. And we can see another point is that according to the advice of Lord Brahma, Prithu Maharaj will stop performing the 100 sacrifices. And Lord Brahma says, by this you will become more famous than Indra. So here we see that Lord Brahma's concern for the welfare of the universe and also his concern for the individual sentiments of Prithu Maharaj. We can say, may not be sentiment, we can say he is concerned for the individual excellence of Prithu Maharaj. Because Prithu Maharaj had taken a vow that I will perform 100 sacrifices. But Lord Brahma is saying, you stop performing the 100 sacrifices for the welfare of the universe. And when you do that, even your individual glory will also increase beyond Indra. When you sacrifice your individual vow to perform the 100 sacrifices, your fame will become even more than Indra. So here, Lord Brahma's concern for the whole universe and also his concern for the individual fame of Prithu Maharaj by saying that you will become, I bless you that you will become more famous than Indra. So both are actually shown. And so here we see, we can see the character of Prithu Maharaj versus Indra is that Prithu Maharaj was concerned, he gave up performing the 100 sacrifices for the sake of the welfare of the universe. That means like he was concerned more for the overall welfare of the world than for his individual excellence. But Indra was concerned more with the individual excellence. So like sometimes we see in some sports matches or something, suppose if a team requires that the batsman to hit lot of fours and sixes, but if the batsman is concerned, oh, first I will actually score my century, I will score a little slowly, then such a player is not so much appreciated, because he's seen that he is actually acting for his own excellence. But if somebody who actually works for the team, although temporarily he may have to sacrifice his individual interest, but eventually he will become more famous because he has sacrificed his individual interest. So just like we can see from another angle, for a devotee, one may have his individual desires or individual aspirations to do certain things. And there is another thing is like needs of the institution, needs of the mission. So when somebody sacrifices individual interest for the need of the mission, temporarily, although there may be some dissatisfaction, but when a person makes that sacrifice, eventually the Lord will actually eventually he will get so much more opportunity, more than what he can handle, what he want regarding what he wanted to do about his individual interest. So temporarily maybe our individual interest may not be taken care of, but then because of the sacrifice, Lord will reciprocate. So later, as Brahmaji is saying, he will become more famous than Indra. There are devotees who sacrifice an individual this thing for the sake of the mission, but later they got so much of opportunity to do what they like to do. In that sense, as one devotee was saying that, when we do those services which we like to do, we get inspiration. But when we do those services which we need to do, we get purification. And so here Prithu Maharaj is actually sacrificing his individual aspiration for the sake of the world. And we can, another example, in the first canto, Prabhupada explains that Krishna had taken a vow not to lift a weapon. But Krishna gave up that vow when Ashwatthama shot five Brahmastras. Krishna and Ashwatthama shot the Brahmastra at Parishit Maharaj. So Krishna gave up that vow in order to protect his devotees. So Prabhupada writes that Krishna preferred to be known as Bhakta Vatsala than to be a worldly moralist. So here also Prithamaraj had taken a vow to perform 100 sacrifices, but he gave up that vow for the sake of pleasing Lord Brahma. So he, Prithu Maharaj, from the point of view of a subordinate, he places the mission always higher than his individual aspiration. So that is exhibited by Prithu Maharaj. He gave preference to the mission of the welfare of the world than his individual aspiration to perform 100 sacrifices. And from the point of view of the authority, the Lord Brahma, he is saying that by doing this, you will become more famous than Indra. That means what he is saying is that his concern for the subordinate's aspiration is also seen from the point of view of authority. Authority shows his concern for the aspiration of a subordinate. So another thing we can see is that even our taking of the vows should also be with the permission of the devotees, and it is ultimately meant to please the devotees and not to please our ego. That Prithu Maharaj had taken a vow to perform 100 sacrifices, but ultimately gave up that vow for the sake of pleasing Lord Brahma. So next verse.
I don't want to miss out one or two important points.
Huh.
One, you were saying about stubborn devotee and flexible devotee.
Huh.
And then faithful devotee and trusted devotee, you were saying.
Huh.
So one more thing in between you were saying.
Both were actually empowered by the Lord.
But
then Indra forgot, but Prithu Maharaj
remembered.
That the purpose of taking vows is actually to please the Lord and the devotees and not to please our ego. For the sake of pleasing Lord Brahma, Prithu Maharaj gave up his vow of performing 100 sacrifices. His initial intention was only to do the welfare of the world. He wanted to do this 100 sacrifices for the welfare of the world. But at this point, it is not turning into welfare of the world. It is actually leading to the propagation of irreligion. So therefore, that by the Brahma's instruction, he was not able to see that very clearly, because till this point, he still actually he wanted to actually kill Indra. Of course, Prabhupada mentioned that he could see that religious systems are being introduced by Indra, so therefore, as a duty of a king, he is trying to kill Indra. But he is not able to see the point that how it will lead into even more propagation of religion, because Indra is a more stubborn devotee, he will introduce even more religious system. He is not able to see that. But Brahmaji is able to come and give the whole picture, and Prithu Maharaj listens to the advice of Brahmaji. In one class, Gaurangpuru was mentioning that initially when we start doing the service, we may have a good intention, but somewhere down the line, because of being absorbed in the passion of doing that service, we may fail to see that how that good intention is not being fulfilled by doing that service. And because of because of being absorbed in the passion, we have continued to do that service without seeing how it is not being fulfilled. So then he said, therefore we need to be open to the feedback of somebody who is the observer of our service. Like some people who are observing, who are not into that project, who are actually observing, they may be able to see that it is actually causing this problem, this disruption. So therefore we need to always be open to the feedback of somebody who is an observer of our services. So Prithu Maharaj's glory is that he actually became submissive to Brahmaji's advice and he stops performing the 100 sacrifices. And but Indra, he didn't have the nature. That's why Lord Brahma did not go to him. And another thing, in one class, Radhana Swami Maharaj explained. He said, we can see another thing from the character of Lord Brahma. As a duty of a manager. So as a manager, we may have to deal with people with different natures. But here, Brahmaji is not trying to chastise Indra, or he is not trying to punish Indra. But he is just telling Prithu Maharaj to stop performing the 100 sacrifices. So he says that as a manager, we may deal with different people who have different natures. Somebody will be stubborn nature, somebody flexible nature. But we have to adjust the situation in such a way that people's good side are brought out and that bad sides are not brought out. So Brahmaji is not rejecting Indra, saying that now you can no longer be Indra, but he is trying to adjust the situation in such a way that Indra again continues to do his service by making Prithu Maharaj stop performing the 100 sacrifice. So in that sense, he said that we need to deal with people in such a way that we don't reject anybody, but engage them or deal with them in such a way that their good sides are brought out, not the bad sides. So one of the future verses, Brahmaji will say, because of you trying to perform the 100 sacrifice, you are actually bringing out the bad side of Indra and you are causing the propagation of irreligion. Actually, he is not doing anything, but he is saying, well, you are actually bringing out the bad side of Indra. In that sense, if he says, every person has the good side and the bad side, but depending on how we act, we can actually bring out the good side or the bad side. So the bad side of every person is like the tiger which is sleeping in everyone's heart. But depending on we act, that is like pinching the tiger. So we have the choice whether to pinch the tiger in the heart of the person or not to pinch the tiger in the heart. So by that, we have a choice to bring out the good side or the bad side. So therefore Brahmaji is saying that point. So 33rd verse. So here the 32nd verse Prabhupada writes, thus Prithu Maharaj's determination to perform 100 sacrifices was indirectly fulfilled by the blessings of Lord Brahma. So 33rd verse. Naivatmane Mahendraya Rosham Ahartum Arhasi Ubav Apihi Badramte Uttama Shloka Vigrahau.
Lord Brahma continued, let there be good fortune to both of you, for you and King Indra are both part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore you should not be angry with King Indra, who is non-different from you.
So here he says, actually Indra is non-different from you. Both of you are actually parts and parcels of the Lord. He's giving the next reason. He is actually a form of the Supreme Lord. So by being actually envious towards him, you will be actually envious towards the Lord. There's no difference between, because he is non-different from you, you have to treat him just like you treat yourself, just like you treat the Supreme Lord. So next verse is a very important verse. Masmin Maharaja Kritasma Chintam Nisham Mayasmad Vacha Adrutatma Yadyayato Daivahatam Nuhkartum Manotirushtam Vishatetamundam.
My dear King, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought.
So it's a very important verse. So Brahmaji is trying to tell Indra, Prithu Maharaj, here he gives the, we can say, he gave three reasons in 30th verse. 31st verse, he gave fourth reason, why the Indra should not be killed. And 32nd verse, he gave the fifth reason, that by stopping this, you will become more famous than Indra. And 33rd verse, he gives the sixth reason. Now in the 34th verse, he tells the seventh point. He says that you have already tried to perform the 100 sacrifice so many times, and every time you are trying, you are meeting with reversal. The horse is being stolen. And when you are trying to do something, when exactly opposite things are happening, that means you must understand that you are not destined to perform the 100 sacrifice. And after seeing the destiny, if you try to change your destiny, then what will happen is that you will go further deep into darkest region of ignorance. Mano atirushtam vishate tamondam. You will enter further into the deepest region of materialistic thought. Just like that first kind of verse, that verse. Narada Muni is saying that from the topmost planet, do not search for the happiness. Tasya iva heto prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam uparyada tallabhyate dukkavat anyasata sukam kalena sarvatra gabir ramhasa. That one should not look for that just happening. I don't know whether it is a similar word, but something similar concept, that when you try to do something which is, again and again, you are meeting with failure. Like sometimes, like some students, they don't have so much of IQ, but still, they are trying so hard, just because of so many others are actually getting, instead of accepting their own position, okay, I am not meant for this, let me do what is fit for me. And when they try to change what is, they change their destiny, they further worsen the situation. So Brahmaji is saying, instead of that, you just accept the destiny and you just tolerate it, and by that and then you concentrate on what is the goal of life. In that sense Brahmaji is speaking. And kindly take my words with great respect. So here Prabhupada writes, sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. After the 2 years back, when the Nepal plane crash happened, different devotees gave some series of Brahmachari classes. I think Gaurang Prabhu, one of the classes, he actually took up this verse and then he actually elaborated on this verse. Such incidents should be taken as providential. Although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy, one should avoid counteracting such reversals. For the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. And Lord Krishna has also advised us in this connection, we should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that when some reversals happen, and when a person simply remains angry, And he simply meditates on why this has happened, with the angry mind, when he simply meditates on that, and by that, such a person enters into the deepest illusion. So instead of meditating and instead of remaining angry, why this happened, why this accident happened, just accept that fact and concentrate on, put your effort to actually increase your absorption in Krishna. Destiny is like, that's what Narada Muni is saying, that tasya iva heto prayateta kovido. Prabhupada writes in one purport regarding this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that one should not put effort to change the material situation, but one should put full effort to actually advance in Krishna consciousness. Like usually, the normal tendency people, and when we ask people that why don't you come for satsang program? So people say, jab Bhagwan hukum denge, tab hum aayenge. That means like they don't want to put any effort from their side to actually come to Krishna consciousness. But they want to put full effort for advancing the material comforts. But in the case of, but what this verse is saying is that don't put effort to change your material situation. Don't try to change the, don't put effort to change the destiny, but put effort to actually improve your consciousness. That's what Brahmaji is saying here. Next verse.
Kratur viramatam yesha deveshu duravagraha dharma vyatikaro yatra pakandair indra nirmitaha.
Lord Brahma continued, stop the performance of these sacrifices, for they have induced Indra to introduce so many irreligious aspects. You should know very well that even amongst the demigods, there are many unwanted desires.
So here the word is saying that even the, you stop performing the sacrifice, and here Prithu Maharaj is saying, can't Indra be stopped? So Brahmaji is saying, among the demigods, Indra is known for his stubborn nature. Stubborn nature. So this is the next reason which Brahmaji is saying, I am not telling anything to Indra to stop doing this activity, because he is a very stubborn devotee. So we can see that the nature of a devotee is like, a devotee is actually flexible, in the sense, flexible in terms of, we make a, one extreme is that flexible devotee means, it's not that a devotee makes some plans to do certain services, to make some schedule, etc. But he is also willing to adjust his plan, his services when there is a need for something. So two extremes are, one is a person makes a plan and he is very rigid about his own plan, is never flexible. And another extreme is that a person has no schedule. Means like, that shows actually one is completely spaced out. So he doesn't make any plan to do some particular service. That means like, it can show a spaced out nature also. But the in between is that a person has a particular plan, a person has a particular schedule, but then he is willing to adjust that schedule whenever there is a need to actually do in a particular way. So that is a flexible devotee. So 36th verse. So here Prabhupada explains the cause of envy is that whenever there is a material desire, that will actually lead to envy. A karmi must be envious because he wishes to enjoy material pleasures to their fullest extent. And in Lord Brahma is coming here in order to end the competition between Indra and Maharaj Prithu. So we can see here another thing is, Brahmaji is doing management in the mode of goodness. Management in the mode of goodness. So like in the case of when he dealt with the, in the mode of, in the mode of goodness, you know whom to approach for what purpose. In the mode of passion, you approach wrong person for that purpose. So like when in the case of Brahmaji, when he was creating, he approached the four Kumaras, you procreate children. The four Kumaras, they refused, and then Brahmaji became angry. So Prabhupada says that because Brahmaji was absorbed in the mode of passion, it was natural for him to become angry. Because he was absorbed in the mode of passion, he couldn't actually see, oh, this person is not meant for this service. So he approached the wrong person for that service. But here Brahmaji is doing management in the mode of goodness. In the sense, he is not approaching Indra for to chastise him, but he is approaching Prithu Maharaj and he is telling him to stop performing the sacrifice. So this is management in the mode of goodness. And another aspect of management here is that Brahmaji is not completely detached from that, oh, let whatever may happen. He is not detached from the whole situation. He is not sitting only in Satya Loka. let whatever may happen, Indra and Prithu, let them settle, some fight happened. He is not detached from the whole situation, but at the same time, he is not attached to controlling the situation. Because if he were attached to controlling the situation, he would have gone and chastised Indra, and that would have further worsened the situation. So Brahmaji is neither detached from the whole situation, nor is he attached to controlling and chastising Indra. He is actually managing the whole situation in such a way that ultimately the whole situation is completely taken care of. He is going to the right person. He is actually explaining in the right way and to stop to make Prithu Maharaj stop performing the 100 sacrifice. And that by that, even Indra's good side will be brought out. You will see in the next chapter. And then the propagation of adharma will also be stopped. In this way, he is actually doing the perfect management here. So 36th verse.
Ebir indropasamsrishtai pakandai haribirjanam hriyamanam vichakshvainam yaste yajnyadrugashvamut.
Just see how Indra, the king of heaven, was creating a disturbance in the midst of the sacrifice by stealing the sacrificial horse. These attractive sinful activities he has introduced will be carried out by the people in general.
So he is telling, the next reason is that Indra has actually introduced so many religious systems, and this will be actually carried out by the people in general. So Prabhupada quotes, Yadyat Acharati Sreshtas. Because Indra is doing these things, common people will also follow Indra. And so therefore, stop performing 100 sacrifices. So Prabhupada writes a long purport, and here he is also comparing, he says that Buddha also played a similar role. And people were performing animal sacrifices. Buddha came and actually stopped those animal sacrifices, who were actually mercilessly killing the animals. And Buddha had to deny the authority of the Vedas for the time being. And one should not perform sacrifices that will induce reversed orders. It is better to stop such sacrifices. So here Brahmaji, here the sacrifice was performed according to the Vedic injunctions. Here Prithu Maharaj is performing a sacrifice according to Vedic injunction, but it is leading to a completely reversal. It is leading to the propagation of irreligion. But in the case of Buddha's time, they were performing sacrifice not following the Vedic injunction, leading to the killing of so many innocent animals. So therefore Buddha came and stopped. And then Prabhupada writes in the next purport how Sankirtan Yajna is the main Yajna for this age. And then he explains that people in Kali Yuga, they are expert in opening slaughterhouses. And in Calcutta, so many people offer meat to the Kali, and then they say that, oh, we are eating Kali Prasad. And Prabhupada says, actually, Kali is actually, she is the wife of Lord Shiva. And she takes only the remnants of Lord Shiva. And because Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, he never takes meat. So therefore, what they call as Kali Prasad is not actually eaten by Kali. It is eaten by the associates of Kali, the ghosts and pishachas. So they are actually eating ghost Prasad and not Kali Prasad. So that's what Prabhupada explained. So next verse.
Bhavan paritratum ikhavatirno dharmam jananam samayanurupam venapacharat avaluptamadya taddehato vishnukalasi vainya.
O King Prathu, son of Veena, you are the part and parcel expansion of Lord Vishnu. Due to the mischievous activities of King Veena, religious principles were almost lost. At that opportune moment, you descended as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, for the protection of religious principles, you have appeared from the body of King Vina.
So here in this verse, the reason which Brahmaji is, what main point of Brahmaji is that Brahmaji is trying to remind Prithu Maharaj about the original purpose for which he appeared. The Prithu Maharaj originally appeared when irreligion was prominent after King Vena was killed when the rogues and thieves were predominant. And he is saying, he is remaining that position and he is saying that, see now that exactly opposite thing is happening by this propagation of irreligious sampradayas. So he is reminding that he is giving us the, I think, but I forgot the count, 8th or 9th reason. So here Prabhupada writes in the main purport, he talks about the purpose of avatar, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskatam. And then he explains Shaktyavesh avatar, that sometimes Lord appears in his person as Krishna, or sometimes he appears as a Shaktyavesh avatar, like Lord Buddha. And that Shaktyavesh avatar is a living entity, can be Shaktyavesh avatar, but is empowered by the Lord. And then in the third paragraph he talks about empowered preacher. He says that Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. Unless a person is empowered by Krishna Shakti, one cannot actually explain the glories of the Holy Name. So then he says, when such a person who is explaining the glories of the Holy Name, and a person who is actually propagating the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and common people actually, when some Vaishnavas criticize such people, by that such a person becomes an offender against Vishnu and is punishable. And he says, even though such offenders may be having the attire of a Vaishnava, may be having the tilak of a Vaishnava, but they are never forgiven by the Lord if they offend a pure Vaishnava. And there are many instances of this in the Shastras. So basically the whole purpose is mainly Prabhupada is concentrating on this word Vishnu Kalasi. Brahmaji is saying you are actually an amsha of Vishnu. You are appeared to actually establish religion. So to explain the word Vishnu Kala, he concentrates on the whole purport. Next verse. Satvam vimrushyasya bhavam prajapate sankalpanam vishvasrujam pipiprhi aindrim cha mayam upadharma mataram prachanda pakanda patam prabhojahi.
O protector of the people in general, please consider the purpose of your being incarnated by Lord Vishnu. The religious principles created by Indra are but mothers of so many unwanted religions. Please therefore stop these imitations immediately.
So here the same reason he is mentioning in 37th and 38th verse, he is by reminding the purpose of Prithu Maharaj's appearance. Prabhupada explained that Lord Brahma especially requested Prithu to conquer the pseudo religious principles. In other words, it is a duty of the state or king to put a stop to pseudo religious systems produced by unscrupulous persons. So Lord Brahma requested Prithu Maharaj to desist from his unnecessary competition with Indra, who was determined to stop Prithu Maharaj from completing 100 sacrifices. So now what was Prithu Maharaj's response? That is given in the next few verses. How he stopped the performance of the sacrifice. Maitreya Uvacha Ittam saloka guruna samadishto vishampati tatacha kritva vatsalyam mago napicha sandade.
The great sage Maitreya continued, when King Prithu was thus advised by the supreme teacher, Lord Brahma, he abandoned his eagerness to perform yajnas and with great affection concluded a peace with King Indra.
So this is an important verse. Here we see Prithu Maharaj, he not only just stopped performing the 100 sacrifice, but he made peace with Indra.
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that he made peace with Indra, showing him affection. Tatacha kritva vatsalyam magonapi cha sandade. So it's not that he simply stopped performing the 100 sacrifices but continued to maintain the grudge against Indra. But he even gave up that anger towards Indra and he actually showed affection towards Indra. So in one sense, that is a really very difficult thing actually. Like if you compare the previous pastime and this pastime, like in the previous pastime, Bhumi Devi, in one sense, she did not commit any violent activities towards the Prithu Maharaj or towards the citizen. She just withdrew the grains. But still Prithu Maharaj was so angry at Mother Earth, although she took the form of a cow, although she gave so many arguments, although she offered beautiful prayers, but still Prithu Maharaj continued to be angry till she actually agreed to the point that okay, I will release all the seeds and grains. But here we see, in the case here, Indra is not unlike Bhumi Devi. Indra is actually trying to disrupt the sacrifice and trying to introduce so many religious systems. But Prithu Maharaj was angry at Indra, but Prithu Maharaj, at the request of Brahmaji, he completely suppressed his anger. Not just suppressed his anger, he showed affection towards Indra. So we can see two contrasting emotions of Prithu Maharaj, that sometimes somebody's nature is always to become angry, but then we are not able to control that emotion it is not required. But Prithu Maharaj is actually showed anger, and till all the citizens were actually assured that they will get the grains, he continued to be angry. But here, for the sake of the same citizens, he restrained his anger and he showed affection towards Indra. So if you remember, I gave an example of that, how the pure devotees are expert in the fast bike race and also in the slow bike race. That Parikshit Maharaj, he was determined to punish Kali. At the same time, when he was cursed to die, he actually did not retaliate against Sringi. And another point which Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes here is that actually Indra is elder to Prithu Maharaj by age wise. But here Prithu Maharaj, because of his superior devotion, he has become elder to Indra. So he says that Brahma saw that Prithu was superior because of his superior bhakti and thus instructed him to show affection to Indra. So just like Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda Dutt, who is your father? Is Raghunandan your father or the son? So Mukunda Dutt said, actually Raghunandan is our father because his devotion is actually the source of our devotion, of the entire source of our devotion of our entire family. So I'll just read a few points from the lectures of Radhana Sai Maharaj and then we'll conclude the class. He mentioned one point was that from this episode, he said that bhakti can be defined in different ways. One way is bhakti is the art of transforming curses into blessings. Another way, bhakti is about establishing relationship with Krishna. And then another way of defining bhakti, in this case he mentioned, was that bhakti is actually the art of transformation. Art of transforming curses into blessings. But he mentioned bhakti is the art of transformation. When we say the art of transformation, the most transformative quality is humility, and the most transformative quality in the opposite direction is the pride. So both transform, but they transform in opposite ways. So here Prithu Maharaj, by his quality of humility, he performed bhakti. By the by this quality of humility. But Indra, because he was proud of his position as one who has performed 100 sacrifices, so he was transformed in the opposite way. And another thing he mentioned was that accomplishment versus character. So he said, ultimately, people will appreciate you for your character more than the accomplishment. He said, Indra had accomplishment of 100 sacrifices, but Prithu Maharaj only 99. But he showed character by stopping to perform the 100 sacrifices. And because of this character, Prithu Maharaj is more famous than Indra. So accomplishment, character is more important than the accomplishment. And another thing he mentioned was that Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma, they were more pleased with Prithu Maharaj because he did not perform the 100 sacrifices more than the 99 sacrifices which he performed. Because in the 99 sacrifices, the first 99 sacrifices involved only the sacrifice of different things. But the 100th sacrifice of not performing that sacrifice, it involved the sacrifice of false ego. So Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma, they were more pleased with Prithu Maharaj because he did not perform the 100th sacrifice, because this sacrifice involved the sacrifice of false ego, than the all the previous 99 sacrifices. In another class, Gaurang Prabhu mentioned that, of course, this will lead to the next chapter, we'll discuss tomorrow. But and Brahmaji became pleased with Indra, Prithu Maharaj, then Lord Vishnu approaches Prithu Maharaj. It's like when you please the immediate authority, then the supreme authority becomes pleased. Then Lord Vishnu comes and he expresses the pleasure to Prithu Maharaj. Yeah, bhakti is about establishing relationship with Krishna. So that is like another definition of bhakti, I heard in a class. So, yeah. Then finally, then another point he mentioned is that so the greatest, the Prithu Maharaj exhibited his humility, therefore he became the most famous. So then he said, the greatest fame is to be known as a humble devotee. So Indra is actually famous for performing 100 sacrifices, but the greatest fame is actually to be known as a humble devotee. So that is the fame of Prithu Maharaj. So the last two verses of this chapter. Vipra satya shishastushta shraddaya labda dakshina ashisho yuyujukshattar adi rajaya satkrita.
With great respect, the original king, Prithu, offered all kinds of rewards to the brahmanas present at the sacrifice. Since all of these brahmanas were very much satisfied, they gave their heartfelt blessings to the king.
Tvayahuta mahabaho sarva eva samagata pujita dana manabhyam pitru devarshi manava.
Great sages and brahmanas said, O mighty king, by your invitation all classes of living entities have attended this assembly. They have come from Pitruloka and the heavenly planets, and great sages as well as common men have attended this meeting. Now all of them are very much satisfied by your dealings and your charity towards them.
So this verse, Vishnu Chakotakur says that those brahmanas who are satisfied by the Prithu Maharaj sacrifice, they spoke this verse by giving blessings to Prithu Maharaj. So we'll start the next chapter tomorrow. Rantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.